Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Did Joseph Smith become a Methodist after being told not to join any of the churches? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past several broadcasts, we've been looking at an article found on Donnie.com. That is Donny Osmond, which of course is known as a very famous Mormon entertainer, brother of Marie Osmond. Well, on his website, under the My Beliefs section, he responds to a 13-year-old girl who recently was baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And as she writes, she stumbled onto what she calls an anti-Mormon website. Now, one of the issues that she raised was the fact that this website said that Joseph Smith was tried for money digging. Donnie denied that, and we spent the past several broadcasts showing that the evidence does show that Joseph Smith, in fact, was tried for being a money digger or a glass looker in March of 1826. But the second concern that this young lady had was that on this website that she was reading, she doesn't give the name, it said that Joseph Smith joined the Methodist Church. And so Donnie now responds to that.
He writes, "The next thing you found was that 8 years after his first vision, God told him to join no church, but he joined the Methodist Church. That is not true. Joseph's family had joined the Methodist Church back in 1820 when he was 14 years old. He was the only one in the family who would not join. It was shortly after their joining that church when Joseph went to the Sacred Grove and knelt in prayer to ask God which of all the churches he should join and which one was right. It was then that he was told to join none of them. I couldn't possibly guess where this misguided soul comes up with this 8 years that you have referred to, or even the fact that he joined the Methodist Church at all, since his history points out that he would not join."
Well, there's a lot of controversy in this, and I think if Mr. Osmond had done just a cursory examination, he would know that this is an issue that Mormon scholars and historians have had to wrestle with. Well, way back in the summer of 1982, Marvin S. Hill, who was a well-respected Mormon historian, wrote an article for Dialogue, a journal of Mormon thought, titled "The First Vision Controversy." And in this, he discusses this issue of Joseph Smith and Methodism. Apparently, someone reading that article took issue with some of the things that Mr. Hill had said. This man was named A. Brent Merrill. Brent Merrill passed away in 1988, but in this issue of Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought, which came out afterwards, he responds to Marvin Hill and the statements that he made under the title "Joseph Smith's Methodism?" And this is what Mr. Merrill wrote.
"I wish to correct a misunderstanding conveyed by a recent article in Dialogue. It refers to a claim by anti-Mormons that Joseph Smith sought membership in the Methodist Church in 1828, contrary to instructions he reportedly received in the first vision. This is incorrect. There is no evidence to support the argument that Joseph Smith ever seriously considered joining the Methodist Church."
And that's a key statement in his argument. There is no evidence to support the argument that Joseph Smith ever seriously considered joining the Methodist Church. And then he goes on.
"The source for this anti-Mormon claim is the Amboy Journal from April 30th and June 11th, 1879, which contains statements by Joseph and Hyle Lewis, sons of the Reverend Nathaniel Lewis. If we assume that these newspaper stories are reasonably accurate, they were made 51 years after the fact by individuals extremely hostile to the church, then we may conclude that Joseph Smith attended the Methodist Church while residing in Harmony, Pennsylvania, between December 1827 and June 1829, and that his name was placed in the class book. Once Joseph Lewis and Joshua McCune, members of the congregation, discovered this fact, Joseph Smith was informed that," and then he quotes from the Amboy Journal of April 30th, 1879, "a character such as he was a disgrace to the church, that he could not be a member of the church unless he broke off his sins by repentance, made public confession, renounced his fraudulent and hypocritical practices, and gave some evidence that he intended to reform and conduct himself somewhat nearer like a Christian than he had done. They gave him his choice to go before the class and publicly ask to leave his name to have publicly asked to have his name stricken from the class book or stand a disciplinary investigation. He chose the former and immediately withdrew his name. So his name as a member of the class was on the book only 3 days.
Now, this is a probationer's class, probably a class that you would take if you were considering perhaps joining the Methodist Church. Now, he doesn't finish this class. A. Brent Merrill goes on to say that, at least to him, what all this suggests to me is that Joseph Smith simply went to a Methodist service in 1828, probably with his wife and her family, at which time his name was placed on the class roll book. There is no historical indication of inconsistency in Joseph Smith's behavior in this matter. But then Marvin S. Hill is going to respond to what A. Brent Merrill says, and this is what Hill said.
Thanks to A. Brent Merrill for clarifying a point in my piece on the first vision. My comment was that in light of the absence of a divine command to join no church in the 1832 version, it was no great inconsistency, as Reverend Walters has insisted, that Joseph sought to be a Methodist in Harmony, Pennsylvania in 1828.
Now let's go back. He's referring to Reverend Walters. That would be Wesley P. Walters, the same man who found the Bainbridge court record showing that Joseph Smith was in fact tried for being a glasslooker, a money digger. What Marvin Hill says here, though, is very important, and I hope people are listening very carefully. He says, my comment was that in light of the absence of a divine command to join no church in the 1832 version, this would be the 1832 version, I guess you could say, of the first vision. But the problem, of course, is Joseph Smith's 1832 version found in his diary does not mention God the Father showing up. And also, and the point that's being brought out by Dr. Hill is, there is no command in the 1832 version for Joseph Smith not to join any of the churches because they're all wrong, their creeds are an abomination, or their professors were all corrupt. That is not found in the 1832 version that Joseph Smith writes in his diary. So this is why Hill can say, thus I pretty much agree with Merrill on this, that there is no historical indication of inconsistency in Joseph's behavior. Well, why? Because he wasn't told not to join any of the churches. But there's a problem with this, and I think Marvin S. Hill knows what the problem is. It's that 1838 account, the official version of Joseph Smith's first vision. That's where it becomes sticky. And so he's going to go on in his response.
He says, I am not sure that I agree, however, with Merrill's statement that there is no evidence to support the argument that Joseph ever seriously considered joining the Methodist Church. There is actually quite a lot of evidence that he did so, probably as a teenager in Palmyra. Merrill himself cites some of it, including Joseph's own admission that, quote, in the process of time, my mind became somewhat partial to the Methodist sect, and I felt some desire to be united with them, end quote. This sounds as though Joseph was serious.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say that the evidence in the Amboy Journal has Joseph seeking membership in Harmony in June 1828. See, that would be the 8 years after this alleged first vision that Mormons are led to believe took place in 1820. And as Hill points out, this would be for the second time in Joseph Smith's life. So there's the 1828 date. And he also says that there is evidence that Joseph's name was on the rolls as a probationer for 6 months, but admits that Joseph never sought to become a full-fledged member. Well, what was Joseph doing all this time, he asks. Then he goes on to say, I agree with Merrill that all available evidence suggests Joseph's probationary activity was of a token sort and that he had no deep interest in Methodism in 1828. But if he had been commanded not to join a church, as the 1838 version reads, would he have gone even this far? The 1832 account spares us having to explain this point.
See, I'm not sure what he means by when he says spares us from having to explain this point, because if the 1838 version is the official first vision account, then Joseph Smith was told not to join any other church. Whether or not Joseph Smith did not include that in his 1832 diary doesn't matter. It was still apparently said by God.
I think the controversy here is that Joseph Smith was not really believing in that story that we find in the 1838 account. That is a more polished version, and he embellishes the story, I think, to give himself more credibility as a chosen prophet of God. The fact is nobody even knew about the 1820 idea of Joseph Smith being visited by God the Father. This is an after-the-fact embellishment that Joseph Smith comes up with. But the point that Marvin Hill is bringing out is the 1832 account never says Joseph Smith could not join any other churches, and that's why he doesn't see an inconsistency here. I would say on this that Donny Osmond is partially correct. Smith never really did become a member of the Methodist Church, but it does look as if he at least tried at one time in his life after he allegedly was told by God not to, if you're going to believe the 1838 account of the first vision.
And if you're a Latter-day Saint, you have to accept the 1838. It's the official version.
Now let's get back to what Donny Osmond told his 13-year-old new convert to the church. He goes on in his response to say, "Through your life you will meet many people who will be against the church. It is because it is the kingdom of God on the earth restored in these latter days." Well, wait a minute. That's a presupposition that certainly is unfounded. I would certainly not agree with that kind of a conclusion. It could be that people are against the church because it could be misleading a lot of very serious people. But Donny Osmond goes on to say, "All that the missionaries have told you is true. That good feeling you have had while you were being taught and as you have read in the Book of Mormon and attended your meetings is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost bearing witness to you that these things are true."
Well, there you go. The feelings, they're going to take precedence over anything else. And facts, as we've talked about this past week, don't have any meaning. You can make up anything you want if you have a good feeling.
Well, and then the next two sentences are troubling. He says, "Satan doesn't like you. He will do anything to dissuade you from the truth." Well, wait a minute. Donnie, you dissuaded her from the truth when you insisted that Joseph Smith was never on trial for being a glasslooker or a money digger. That wasn't true. That did happen. That really did happen in Joseph Smith's life. Unfortunately, this young lady putting her trust in Donny Osmond for this answer has been really misled. And sadly, look at how many Mormons have been misled in trusting in the truth claims of Mormonism.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.